Good afternoon, everybody.
Hello.
This weekend might have been the greatest weekend in sports history. Top five weekend in world history, if I'm being honest.
I cried.
You guys, in case you live underneath a rock and have zero life, Tiger Woods is a Masters champion again.
Eldrick Woods.
This is probably the biggest comeback in sports history.
Let's just go through the stats. 15 majors now. Three back from Jack Nicklaus. Let's just, 81 tournament wins. And let's just say he's back. The Tiger effect's in full strength right now. Let's say that.
First major win since 2008. It's been too long.
It's good to
It's been too long. And Game of Thrones premiered last night. Frick yeah! All right, well, guys, we got a bad chapter this week. The legal aspects of sport marketing.
Our last social media segment, too.
I am sad about that. These podcasts have become fun, part of the weekly routine. We're going to grind this one out. We're really going to miss doing this. Go Tiger. That's all I got to say right now.
Tiger Woods.
Given Tiger's coming off a Masters win, we're just going to jump right into it and probably only talk about Tiger Woods the whole podcast. It's not like we haven't talked about golf every podcast regardless, so not much is going to change there. Patty, introduce us to the chapter.
Chapter 10, the legal aspects of sports marketing. This chapter basically addresses the issues that arise at the intersection of sports marketing and the law. So Mikey Betts.
What's that, Ken?
Mikey the little freaky. Mikey the little freaky Betts. Tell us what intellectual property is.
I am a business law expert after taking this class with Barnes. Essentially, the law of intellectual property comprises three areas: trademarks, copyrights, and patents. And the primary goal of intellectual property is to protect people's inventions. Essentially, as the book would call it, protect their intellect, which Patrick has zero of. That was a joke.
So mean.
And so, yeah, copyrights, trademarks, and patents. You guys have all seen those signs, the C for copyright, TM, trademark, and obviously the R for patent, because that makes a lot of sense. And so pretty much that's what this chapter is going over, just like how copyrights, trademarks, and patents come into effect. For example, Tiger Woods, he's got the TW on the back of all of his Nike gear. If Thomas Wormhead tried to come in and make a TW symbol that looked like Tiger Woods, that dude's getting sued. Tiger Woods is not letting that fly. So that's just a brief example. We're going to go more in depth coming shortly. Patty, my guy. Mr. Zero Intellect. tell your boy a little bit about trademarks and the world.
A trademark is a word, name, symbol, or device used by a person, generally a manufacturer, or merchant, to identify and distinguish its goods from those manufactured and sold by others.
That's all you got?
Oh, you want more?
No, I figured that much out of you. Guys, trademarks just pretty much have to do with anything that includes like the product shape, size, color scheme, texture, graphics. You know, let's think of an example, Pat. For example, the World Series, which, you know, I have a question for you, Professor Barrantes. So if the World Series is trademarked by the MLB, why can poker call it the World Series of Poker? Maybe it's because they add of poker, but World Series, you know, you hear the word World Series, you think of one thing, you're not thinking gambling, unless you're our roommate Tyler, you know? And same thing with the NCAA Final Four. That's why they call the hockey version the Frozen Four. So that's what a trademark is. Just like Tiger Woods TW, it'll never be touched. Not in the same fashion.
Never.
And so I know we touched briefly on this before in the last podcast, but Carolina Blue, trademarked. No other college team could take the Carolina Blue. Because you see that blue and you're like, oh, is that a North Carolina sweatshirt? Damn right it is. So, you know, it's easier than it sounds. Professor Barnes is really good at this stuff. He's good at explaining it. Okay. However, there are ways you can use people's trademarks. There are a couple things that you can do to get around it, such as the fair use defense. For example, a company like Adidas can use a Nike trademark in its ads to compare the two products. The fair use defense has also been successfully used by companies that sold refurbished discounted golf balls. So, you know, you got a guy, you see these weirdos, actually, this is funny. You see these weirdos at the golf course I work at. They're in a full wetsuit. They got an oxygen tank and everything, swimming for golf balls. So the guy takes it down to the wherever you get golf balls refurbished. And then you tag a little green leaf on it, and it says refurbished. And if you're above a 10 handicap, it's probably what golf ball you play. So that's an example.
We have a lot of those guys coming to our course doing that.
Got a lot of guys on our team doing that. What? Just kidding. Also, genericness. So, as discussed earlier, as discussed earlier in the chapter, we're kind of just going over it now. You can't really trademark something that's generic, like, trying to think of a good example, something authentic that's not in the book. Oh, there was one big thing with Velcro. Velcro was the original name of a company. Like, you know what Velcro is, right? And I guess it's not actually called Velcro, but people started calling it Velcro because...
What was it called before?
I have no idea. I remember talking about this in sports marketing. And so they lost their trademark because even other companies that were making it, they were calling it Velcro because, like, you know, Velcro, it's Velcro. Yeah, it's Velcro. I forget what it's actually called. It's like stick and stitch something. It's something weird. Yeah. But so, yeah, Velcro lost their trademark because of that. And then lastly, functionality of final defense involves marks that do not describe or distinguish a product or service but are necessary for the product to exist. It was unsuccessfully used or raised in the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders case, where the defendant claimed that a depiction of an actress in a cheerleading uniform similar to those worn by the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders was not trademark infringement because the uniform design was not a trademark but rather a functionality of performing. That's kind of confusing. That's the best I can explain it. And that's probably the best you're going to get out of me. Intellectual being over here isn't going to explain it any better anyways. I'm sorry. I'm so overtired. I'm just in a great mood too that Tiger won. Anything to add, Patrick?
There's nothing. I'm really stuck up on Tiger right now.
Why do I even ask?
I'm really stuck up on
Tiger. All right, on to the next. Moving forward, everybody. Onto copyrights. Pat, tell us a little bit about copyrights.
So, copyright law is primarily governed by the Copyright Act of 1976, which protects original works of authorship appearing in any tangible medium of expression. In addition, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act provides copyright laws regarding digital creations on the internet.
Digital. So, things such as, like, literary works, books, most importantly, music, which really doesn't make sense. You could literally download any song off the internet and not have to pay anybody a dime. So that is copyright infringement. Are they going to come out and get me and Pat for downloading our stuff off of YouTube? A couple of broke college kids? Probably not. But then you got guys that are going to try and download a $300 textbook online. Can't do that. It's a no-no. So Patty's going to give you a little replay of what exactly a copyright is, an example of it in sports.
This telecast is a copyright of the National Football League. Any rebroadcast, retransmission, or any other use of description or accounts of this telecast without the express written consent of the National Football League is prohibited.
Mic drop.
Boom.
Moving on. To the last but not least of the sport laws, the R-rated patent. Yes. So patents can be granted to anybody who invents or discovers any new useful, really anything, whether it's a process, machine, manufacture, even a composite of matter. So pack it on your chemistry grind. Go get that patent.
Last time I took chemistry, sixth grade. Stuff was hot.
And so something that's important to know is that a patent cannot... Wait, what did you say? I wasn't even listening to you.
I was like, I took chemistry in sixth grade. That was hot.
Yeah. Okay. A patent cannot be granted from your ideas, only for the actual invention or complete description of it. And that's something that's very important to know, guys. You have to have an exact description of what it does, the function and purpose of it. And it has to be absolutely unique. If it's an idea that is just kind of so obvious, like, for example, oh my God, Professor Barnes gave us a sick one. It was so funny. Putting whipped cream on ice cream. You can't just put whipped cream on ice cream and be like, I came up with this. This is my idea, because everybody already does it. So things like that. That was a really bad example, but you kind of get the point. That is something that cannot be patented. And on top of that, it is the most complex of the three areas of intellectual property. So as a result, you're going to need to get yourself a Mr. Barnes to help you through the process in order to make mad dough. So keep that in mind. Don't take other people's ideas. Be unique. And be intellectual, baby. Stay tuned for our last
forever
Sports Business Journal drum roll. Not yet, Pat. Not yet. Hold on. Patrick, it's time. Give me the last ever drum roll. It's Sports Business Journal time. Well, if you guys aren't deaf after that little performance right there, there was something very historic that happened at Augusta. And I'm not talking about Tiger Woods. History was made on April 6th at Augusta National when the final round of the inaugural Augusta National Women's Amateur Tournament took place at the Masters. No, it was not the Masters. It was the inaugural Augusta National Women's Amateur Tournament. But still, nonetheless, these ladies are finally getting the spotlight they deserve. A girl from Wake Forest actually ended up winning it. The girls amateur tournament has nothing to do with why this article relates to the podcast, but that's what we're here to help you out with. The Masters, Pat, that yellow flag of the United States of America with the red pin right on Augusta.
Unbelievable.
Best believe that's trademarked, son. You know, you can make knockoffs, like there's one shirt. It says plastered on it, and there's a keg with a pin in it. But obviously, it's not supposed to be depicting the Masters. Yeah. Shout out to the ladies. Keep grinding. All these girls would have kicked me and Pat's ass out on the course.
100%.
150%. Stay tuned for our last ever outro, everybody. It's been a pleasure doing these podcasts. Me and Pat just finally started to get the hang of it, so it's kind of a shame we have to stop. Obviously, congratulations to my father, Tiger Woods, for another Masters. Really not surprised. No, I really am surprised. I can't even believe it.
I am not surprised.
I'm on cloud nine right now. So much so that I don't even know what kind of emotion to have right now. I don't want to freak everybody out by being too obsessed about it.
I don't think it's sunk in for me yet.
Nope.
Like, he just won the match.
You best believe me and Pat already changed our phone screens, though.
Yes, we did.
And so, Patty, without further ado, let me get that outro. Last podcast ever. Tiger's a Masters champion. Game of Thrones returned last night. And if you can't tell, I'm crying. Goodbye.
Love you all.
And good night.